Akhatra Foundation presents the Akhatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akhatra AI. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really excited to get into the sources you've shared about, well, a true giant of industry and, frankly, thought, Warren Buffett.
Absolutely.
We're specifically digging into Alice Schroeder's biography, The Snowball, Warren Buffett and the Business of Life. It's, you know, pretty much the definitive work.
It really is. Comprehensive.
And when you look for models of, like, real lasting success, the kind that isn't about quick schemes or crazy complex strategies, Buffett's name just keeps coming up.
Always.
He's not just, you know, one of history's best investors. He's become this icon, and his life offers lessons that go way beyond just finance, right?
Mm-hmm. Far beyond. Our mission today, for you listening, is to pull out those core principles behind his, well, frankly, extraordinary journey.
Yeah, and figure out what really builds that lasting wealth and success. Not just money, but, you know, success in life.
And The Snowball is the perfect source for that.
Mm.
What makes the book so great, I think, is how it shows Buffett's massive success wasn't really like a lightning strike of genius.
Right.
It was more about the disciplined, lifelong application of really simple ideas. Things like starting early, being patient, and just never stopping learning.
That compounding idea.
Exactly. The power of compounding.
Right.
But not just for money. He applied it to knowledge, to building relationships, and maybe most importantly, to his reputation.
And Alice Schroeder, the author, she had incredible access, didn't she?
Unbelievable access.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Wall Street analyst, understood the finance side, but Buffett gave her over 2,000 hours. Interviews, access to family, friends, his personal files, everything. So she could paint this really intimate picture, but still with that analytical rigor. It shows you crystal clear how basic ideas, if you stick to them, can create amazing results over a lifetime.
So this deep dive should give you a shortcut to understanding that whole process.
That's the plan.
Okay, so let's trace that snowball, see how it started rolling.
Yeah.
We need to go back to his formative years, right? Omaha, the 1930s up to about 56.
Yeah, the very beginning.
You picture this kid in Nebraska already showing this, like, intense drive and an obsession with numbers that was, well, pretty unusual for a kid.
Definitely. His childhood was all about these little businesses, selling gum, Coca-Cola, door-to-door.
And tracking every single penny.
Meticulously.
Yeah,
it showed that innate desire he had to accumulate, to make things grow. But just as critical was his father, Howard Buffett.
A stockbroker and a congressman, too.
Right. And he instilled this deep sense of integrity in Warren and this idea of the inner scorecard.
Okay, tell us more about that. That sounds important.
It's fundamental. It means judging yourself by your own internal standards, not by what other people think, not by external applause.
Could ignore the noise.
Pretty much.
Eh.
And then came that huge moment when he discovered Benjamin Graham's book, The Intelligent Investor. He was just a teenager.
And that just clicked for him.
Like a light bulb moment. He called it his Road to Damascus experience. It gave him the logical framework for investing he'd been searching for. And that discovery directly led him to Columbia to study under Graham himself.
Wow. Talk about a defining moment.
Absolutely foundational. And working for Graham, that's where he really sharpened his skills in what they call deep value investing, or sometimes cigar butt investing.
Cigar butt. Explain that one.
Huh. Yeah. It means finding companies that were like discarded cigar butts, maybe looked finished, but had one last valuable puff left in them. Basically, assets trading way below their actual worth.
Yeah.
Super cheap, low risk.
Got it. So find bargains others missed.
Exactly. Then, super interesting, he goes back to Omaha at 25. Doesn't stay on Wall Street. Starts Buffett Partnerships.
And his pay structure was unique, wasn't it?
Very telling. No salary for him. He only got paid if his partners made money, specifically 25% of the profits above a 6% return for them.
So his interests were completely locked in with his investors.
Perfectly aligned, which spoke volumes about his integrity and long-term view, even then.
Huh.
And those partnerships, they did phenomenally well. Just crushed the market averages.
The snowball was picking up speed.
Big time. But maybe the most impressive thing in that period was his decision in 1969. The market was getting really frothy,
yeah.
Kind of speculative.
Yeah.
And he makes this incredibly disciplined call. He dissolves the partnerships, gives all the capital back to his investors because he felt things were just too overpriced, couldn't find sensible places to put the money.
That takes guts and discipline.
Immense rational courage. It wasn't just about integrity. It cemented his reputation. and it showed he'd rather stick to his principles than ride a wave he didn't trust.
And that decision really paved the way for what came next, didn't it? Berkshire Hathaway.
Exactly. That move set the stage. So from about 1965 onwards, we see his peak achievements, the legacy building. He takes that capital, famously buys into Berkshire Hathaway, which is actually a failing textile mill at the time.
Right. People forget that part. It wasn't always this giant holding company.
Not at all. His genius wasn't saving the textile business. It was realizing he could use his cash flow to buy other things, specifically insurance companies, like National Indemnity.
Oh, the insurance float. That's key.
Absolutely crucial. He understood that the float, the premiums insurance companies collect up front before they have to pay out claims, was like this permanent, constantly growing pool of capital he could invest.
So he was essentially getting paid to hold money that he could then use to make more money.
You got it. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
And this is also when Charlie Munger becomes really influential, his longtime partner.
Munger. Another legend. How did he influence Buffett?
Well, Munger really pushed Buffett's thinking, challenged him to move beyond just buying those cheap cigar butt stocks. Munger's idea was buy wonderful businesses at a fair price. Don't just look for fair businesses at a wonderful price.
Okay, so a shift towards quality.
A huge shift. Focusing on companies with durable competitive advantages, what Munger called economic moats. Think of a castle moat protecting the business.
Like See's Candies.
Perfect example. A brand so strong it could consistently raise prices without losing customers. That led to those iconic investments. Coca-Cola, American Express, JYCO, The Washington Post.
And his annual letters started becoming must-reads around then, too.
Yeah, they became these master classes in investing and business thinking, educating people globally. He became the Oracle of Omaha.
And then, much later, the philanthropy, giving most of it away.
A monumental decision in 2006, giving the vast majority of his fortune, mainly via the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, applying that same long-term rational thinking to making a social impact. It's just an incredible life story.
Truly remarkable. So if we sort of zoom out, what was really driving him? What's the core philosophy?
Yeah, it wasn't just one thing, obviously. But key ingredients were this insatiable hunger for knowledge, a really rational temperament, and a deep belief in long-term value.
Plus that competitive streak and desire to accumulate we saw early on.
Definitely. And that central metaphor, the snowball. Life is like a snowball. The important thing is finding wet snow and a really long hill. That captures the power of compounding so well.
And not just for money.
Right. It applies to knowledge, his constant reading, to reputation built slowly, carefully over decades of honesty, to relationships too. Small, consistent efforts kept up over a long time, they lead to extraordinary results.
It's such a simple concept, but applying it consistently, that's the hard part. You mentioned the inner scorecard again earlier. How central was that?
Oh, absolutely central. That inner scorecard versus the outer scorecard idea from his dad. It means you judge yourself by your standards, not by what the crowd thinks, not by market crazes or fads.
Which let him do the opposite of the herd, right? Be fearful when others are greedy.
And greedy when others are fearful. Exactly. It gave him that crucial independence. Then there's the circle of competence.
Only investing in what you understand.
Thoroughly understand. That humility saved him tons of trouble. Kept him out of things like the dot-com bubble because he admitted he didn't get it.
Which ties into his belief about temperament over intellect.
Yeah, he genuinely believes rationality and temperament are more critical than just having a high IQ for investing success. Controlling your emotions, fear and greed, that's the ballgame.
Our favorite holding period is forever. That quote says a lot about patience.
It perfectly captures his patience and long-term view. He wasn't worried about quarterly results. He focused on the underlying value of the business over years, decades.
And his integrity wasn't just a nice to have, it was a business asset.
A tangible asset.
Yeah.
It takes 20 years to build a reputation and 5 minutes to ruin it.
His honesty literally attracted partners and opportunities others couldn't access.
But the book also touches on the sacrifices, the personal costs.
It does. It doesn't paint him as a perfect saint. It acknowledges the immense focus and sacrifices dedication required and the impact that had, particularly on family relationships. It adds that human layer.
Makes it more relatable in a way. Yeah. And underpinning all of this, of course, is value investing. That core idea. Price is what you pay. Value is what you get. Learn from Graham. Refined with Munger. It's the bedrock.
These principles seem so straightforward, almost obvious when you list them. But living them consistently is another story. Sometimes, though, it's specific moments, specific decisions that really change everything. Let's talk about those pivotal turning points.
Yeah, and interestingly, they weren't always these huge, dramatic blow-ups. Sometimes they were quieter moments of realization that just sent things in a totally new direction.
Okay, so what was the first really big one?
I'd say the first was discovering Benjamin Graham's The Intelligent Investor.
Yeah.
We mentioned it earlier, but its impact was massive. Reading that book as a teenager gave him the whole logical structure for evaluating businesses. It wasn't just interesting. It was like the key unlocking everything for him.
His road to Damascus.
Exactly. It gave direction to all that energy and numerical focus. It became the intellectual foundation for his entire career. Without that book, who knows?
Hard to imagine. Okay, so that's number one. What's the second turning point?
The second, I think, has to be his decision to dissolve the Buffett partnerships in 1969. We talked about the discipline involved.
Right, returning all the capital because the market felt too high.
Yes. That was transformative for a couple of reasons. One, it massively boosted his reputation for integrity and rational thinking, putting principles ahead of profits. Mm-hmm. Two, it actually forced him to think differently about how to manage capital long term. It pushed him towards needing a permanent capital vehicle.
Which led straight to using Berkshire Hathaway in a new way.
Precisely. It wasn't just about finding cheap stocks anymore. It was about finding a structure to hold capital and compound it indefinitely. Dissolving the partnerships was the catalyst for that shift.
Okay, makes sense. And the third, that involves Munger, right?
Absolutely. The third pivotal point was Charlie Munger's influence shifting his investment philosophy. Munger was the one who really got Buffett to evolve beyond just buying statistically cheap cigar butts.
Pushing him towards quality.
Towards quality. Towards buying wonderful businesses at a fair price, not just okay businesses at a rock bottom price.
Yeah.
That shift was fundamental to Berkshire's success later on.
Focusing on those economic moats.
Exactly. Companies like Coke, See's Candies, businesses that could reliably generate high returns and compound wealth much more effectively over the long haul than just buying mediocre stuff on the cheap. Munger's influence there was just immense.
So looking at this whole arc, it's clear his life is way more than just a story about money. It's about persistence, rationality, human nature, really. Mm. What are the big lessons you think we can pull from his journey for our own lives?
That's the key question, isn't it? How do these grand financial principles apply to us? Well, first off, the power of starting small and being consistent. That snowball idea.
Right. You don't need to start huge.
Not at all. Whether you're saving money, learning a skill, building a career, whatever, small, steady efforts compounded over time are way more powerful than trying to do big, splashy things sporadically. Just start and keep at it.
And that inner scorecard idea feels incredibly relevant today with social media and constant external judgment.
Oh, totally. Imagine trying to live by an inner scorecard when you're constantly bombarded by everyone else's outer scorecard online.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So cultivating that inner scorecard is a huge lesson in resilience. Learning to trust your own judgment, stick to your values, and resist just following the crowd or chasing trends. It lets you make decisions that are right for you.
It's about independence of thought.
Deeply. And his life also highlights the reality of focus and the inevitability of sacrifice. You know, achieving something truly extraordinary often demands intense dedication.
And that can come at a cost.
It often does. The book is honest about the personal costs, especially in relationships. It's a reminder that success isn't always simple or easy. It involves complex trade-offs. That's a very human lesson.
And finally, the reading, his nonstop reading habit.
Yeah, it wasn't just a quirky hobby. It was absolutely a strategic advantage. Lifelong learning as a competitive edge.
He treated knowledge itself like a compounding asset.
Exactly. His daily habit of absorbing information shows that continuously learning build your knowledge base, giving you insights and perspectives others just don't have. That's a blueprint anyone can use to get better in their field.
Wow. Okay. That's incredibly insightful. So as we start to wrap up this deep dive into Buffett through the snowball, let's try to boil it down to three final takeaways for everyone listening.
All right. Three key takeaways. First, an emotional insight. The profound, sometimes difficult truth is that extraordinary achievement, especially when driven by such intense focus like Buffett's, often demands significant personal sacrifices. It reminds us of the human complexity behind the legend.
That's powerful. What about intellectually?
An intellectual insight. Real, enduring success and wealth don't usually come from overly complex strategies or just being super smart. They come from the disciplined, rational, and consistent application of a few core principles compounding, staying in your circle of competence, thinking long-term, applied patiently, relentlessly, over decades.
Simplicity and discipline win out. And finally, a universal lesson.
And a universal insight. Your integrity and reputation are arguably your most valuable assets in any part of life. They build trust and open doors in ways money can't. Cultivating that inner scorecard, living by your own standards, and committing to continuous learning are practical, universal strategies for building a life of consequence and lasting value, whatever you do.
Fantastic. What a journey.
Join us next time for a new episode, featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.